KMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikael Mears' Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. What is this, the third Monday already? In, is it the third?
What month
it
is this? The oh, third. November. November. Oh, Lord.
I don't know. Apparently, we're going into Sagittarius this week. So it's like, boy, things are going way too quickly. Which means we have David Watson here, who is a deep trance channeler for a soul group called The Willows.
That's right.
And does life strategies. Life strategies?
Well, I like to call myself a life strategizer these days.
Okay. Life strategies.
Formally, we refer to ourselves as psychotherapists, but it really doesn't fill the bill when you really understand that most people, I don't believe anybody's broken. I just think that people just need to sit down and develop better strategies for moving forward in their lives.
There you go.
Yeah.
I would agree with that 100%. All right. So, well, we thought we would talk about some of the things that are going on, not some of the things that are actually going on, but how we can have or find or discover more compassion and the most benevolent outcome.
Amen.
For some of the things that are going on.
Well, things are always going on, Laura.
This is true.
I don't care. That's what life is about, you know, change. And yeah. The only thing that seems to remain constant in any of it is change. So if we can embrace that and ride the rest, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
But I think compassion is definitely, something that we can begin to, you know, ride a little closer to home.
Right. Well, I mean, especially for Toronto. But, you know, also we're coming into the Thanksgiving, the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday weekend or week. So, I mean, that's this week for them. So, I mean, it's kind of a nice topic to sort of, you know, start to think about because, I mean, we all have triggers when it comes to our families and it comes to, you know, those holidays. So it's kind of a great topic to sort of be thinking about right now. If anybody has any questions, if anybody has any, it can be anything that you want, but you know, if anybody's going through anything around, judgment around people or family or want to have a little bit more compassion, this would be a great show to call in.
You feel like you're being judged.
Oh, there you go, too. That's it.
That's right. Because that's where compassion is necessary as well. Because quite often, you know, there's an old saying, judge not lest thee be judged. Not that I want to be quoting the Bible all day, but the fact is that it's a very true statement. And I think, you know, when we begin to understand that, there's so many instances that we've been taught in our traditional, you know, Judeo-Christian tradition here in North America. Turn the other cheek, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. Things of this nature, those are showing a sense of understanding, which is where compassion grows from. Or these thoughts of understanding grow from a compassionate heart. It's hard to say. They're so intertwined. Mm. You know, the last last couple of weeks, I've watched as this broadcast is originating north of the border in Toronto, and our mayor is on the public stage right now, and everybody has a good shot at him. He's an easy figure to make fun at. He's overweight. He sweats a lot. He trips over his own tongue. Sometimes the only time he opens his mouth is to change feet. And somebody's determined, they took the entire Toronto Police Department to track this guy down, take pictures of him, and try and prove that there was something nefarious about his activity as mayor. And I'm kind of looking at all of this going, geez, that's a lot of work to do, and particularly with no charges laid. So I began to really have compassion for Rob Ford and understanding that perhaps there's a larger energy or there's a larger purpose. to this, the way that he's being exposed and being put in front of the public. So I began to think about it from that perspective. And I also began to think about his family. He's got a wife who's at home and two children. And despite the fact that Rob unfortunately uses very
vulgar language.
Well, I don't call it vulgar. It comes from a certain time in our lives. I don't think he's a guy that ever really grew up. You know, it's almost like he's still in the high school locker room with the way that he's speaking. So I think that that's part of his process in growing. But, you know, again, not passing judgments, just observing what's going on, but beginning to form a very deep degree of compassion for what's happening to this man. He is everyone's crosshairs right now. Everyone's. You know, and it's opened across, you know, the United States. It's gone across the world. And it seems that we're always willing to try and find somebody who's worse off than we are that we can look at and feel superior to and feel better than and believe that, you know, thank God that's not me. Well, you know, again, without trying to turn things around too much, you know, when we look at the some of the works of the late great Debbie Ford talking about the shadow principle and how before we point a finger we should really have a peek inside of ourselves as to what we're pointing a finger at and what is it that's resonating with that desire to feel holier than or better than or different than. And I think that started opening again more thoughts about compassion, which is why, you know, I thought that this would be a good topic for the show, not to discuss the political aspects of it, because that's somebody else's business, but to understand what we do to people when they fall.
Right.
You know, right. And when they fall, do we stand? Do we watch them? I mean, there's so much that's been published over the years and so much that's been shown about people in large cities where there's so many of us that we have a tendency to overlook those who are less fortunate and have literally taken pictures of folks lying on the street that people step over, don't even look at to find out why they're lying on the ground. So that's really a fascinating, you know, reflection on our consciousness. And, you know, what part of us decided that we were not to have compassion, that when somebody falls or they falter, that we should laugh at them or even downright attack them.
Right.
You know, that to me is kind of like, I don't know, like a feeding frenzy. I remember watching a National Geographic special many years ago when they were trying to attract sharks and, you know, they put some chum in the water and all the sharks started coming around and then one of the sharks cut itself and the other sharks ate it. It was a pretty lousy looking scene. You know, they didn't give you a lot of detail, but you saw exactly what happened. So is that what we are? Are we like sharks? Are we like sea creatures that have been around for a few billion years or a couple of million or however, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of years sharks have been here? Are we going to be like that, that we never change, that we turn around and when those of us who are having difficulty falter, that we either attack them or, and quite frankly, you know, we have a past that might sustain that. Our history as far as how we got to where we are today. But I think that the reason I'm speaking out about this today is because I think we're in an age where it's very feasible and very possible for us to make these changes. And I hope, like, through the kind of medium that we're using right now, and that the folks out there who are listening to this look into their own hearts. We all look into our hearts from day to day and ask about compassion. How would I like to be treated? How would I see this? And when we first of all think about it, we suddenly begin to change our perspective. And that's the purpose of, you know, what I'm here to do today and probably every day to the best of my ability to help us regain our own core, our center, and our love for each other.
Right.
In a very positive way. So that's my thing about developing compassion. And, you know, I don't want to get into the whole dictionary definition of it. I mean, we could pull all that stuff up. But, you know, true compassion comes from the heart and comes from trying to understand the other person's point of view.
Or even, I mean, we don't need to even try and understand them. Just have compassion for who they are. Because we've all made errors. We've all done stupid things. We've all, you know, we may not have gotten caught.
Well, speak for yourself.
Okay, sorry. No, but, you know, we may not have gotten caught on video or said stupid things.
Well,
where he eats and things.
That's right. That's the other half of the coin, isn't it?
Right.
The fact is that those of us who aren't in the public eye we're not followed around by
paparazzi
crew.
Although media and
we can be tracked by any police department in the world just wandering around in a downtown area of most cities these days.
You especially know? If you have a cell phone.
With the traffic lights and the security cameras and all the stores. I mean, it doesn't take them long to put something together. So we are covered, when it comes to that point of view. But really, unless somebody's after us or is focusing on us, no. Yeah. But when we do put ourselves in a place to stand in the public eye, we have a certain responsibility to the people who put us there to maintain a certain degree of equilibrium. However, the fact is, the reason somebody like Rob Ford got elected in the first place, he never pretended to be the good guy.
That's true.
He never pretended to be the role model of anything other than the fact that, he promised that he was going to save money to the city when he was elected. And so far, he's done a very good job. And a lot of the people who before were making money on the side
are no longer
making money. So taxes are going to be adjusted that way. That's his, well, maybe, but definitely. Well, now it's changing because they're taking his power back. So that's the political aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important for us as individuals to look at his situation and not say there, but for the grace of God go I, but there go I.
Right.
Because each one of us holds that within ourselves to either give or take in any situation when we see somebody else faltering. And I think that those of us who do attack and do pass judgment and do hold our high horses kind of wonder how we're living our own lives,
No, it's a very valid point. We definitely get caught up in we all get caught up in all of the gossip and things that are going on in the world. In fact, I think more people would rather, look at the gossip magazines or what's happening to their favorite stars than they would, anything else, because they get caught up in that. I mean, I know people that watch soap operas and, that's the only thing. It's like they're living their life through the TV and what's happening to other people. I mean, it's a really interesting point when we think about compassion, how quickly we do judge and how quickly we are judged.
Well, the very things you're talking about, particularly soap operas, they don't really practice a lot of compassion in soap operas, not the ones I've ever seen. Not the ones I remember seeing from the time I was a kid. That was a long time ago, folks. So, they're always about he hates her and she hates him and everyone's intolerant and everyone carries grudges. And basically it boils down to the fact that most of us carry a very heavy duty degree of resentment with us, which is the other half.
Well,
which is almost the opposite of compassion. So we hold a certain resentment. I believe many of us hold resentment about so many things. I mean, I have myself in life, and I still do to a certain degree, and I'm working on it on a daily basis. I don't pretend to be, as Rob says, perfect.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think part of it is, as you kind of mentioned at the very beginning of the show, not wanting to go into, Judeo-Christian faith and belief, but when you were kind of told as a child that there's somebody up there that is judging you, and it makes us have resentment. It makes us feel, or even Santa, there's the good and bad list, right? There's
a little paranoid there.
Or the monsters under your bed. Like we kind of have been brought up, they were trying to control and manipulate us. Now I know, it sounds awful, doesn't it? In a way to be good or in a way to, be the better.
Agreed,
raised to the higher good sort of thing. But, in that sense, I think that's where we get the resentment. And, I think the fear, if you go down far enough, is that, we were kicked out of Eden. We God left us.
Yeah.
Which looks like we're getting a whole bunch of calls, so I didn't even get a chance to say you can call in. But a whole bunch of people are calling in. We'll probably,
I hope they're not shaking their fists.
No, they've got all sorts of questions. We may have to bring the Willows in.
Okay.
It's kind of, we kind of get lost, and that's kind of what's going on right now. A lot of people are feeling a little bit lost. And again, I love the topic because I think it's such a poignant thing as we move into this, Thanksgiving weekend and we start getting into the holidays more
deeply.
We need to look at our judgments, our compassion, and definitely our compassion for ourselves, because I think that's where we probably have the least compassion.
Well, that's another story.
But we do
compassion
have to go to our first break.
Home.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. We do need to go to our first break. We will come back with the Willows, and we will start tackling on some of these calls, and we will continue our conversation about compassion and seeing the most benevolent outcome, which is also a good thing to think about as you're moving into the holiday weekend. Benevolent outcome. Don't add to the
angst.
The old, yes, the angst or the old beliefs that you have of Thanksgiving weekend. All right, so you are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
You are not alone. There are angels that help guide your life in time of need. Contact your angel by joining Laura Lee's Spirit Salon every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Acclaimed medium Laura Lee will contact your dearly departed spirit guides and your angel too to help you find closure, guidance, or insight regarding matters of the heart. As seen on Fox, NBC, TLC, PBS, and the Discovery Channel, medium Laura Lee has the ability to tap into heaven's realms and peer into your life, relationships, financial, health, and or career concerns. Learn how to raise some heaven in your life by joining Laura Lee's Spirit Salon on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Each week, you'll learn valuable tips to help your spirit soar high and to make that connection to your inner guidance. Hear inspirational stories from listeners who have personally experienced heavenly miracles. And most importantly, chat with medium Laura Lee to contact the other side. Come raise some heaven with Laura Lee's Spirit Salon, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on New Sky Radio. The Sky.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Laurie Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
All right, welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson with us. He hasn't gone into trance yet because we wanted to bring up a point about the most benevolent outcome, and it's something that he's been sort of looking at. So go ahead, read your...
Well, the most benevolent outcome, actually, I is something that a good friend of mine shared with me a couple of months ago, and it took me a little while to really understand what that meant. The most benevolent outcome, because most of us, you know, we think, well, I want the most positive outcome. I want the most beneficial outcome.
Well, they're thinking of most beneficial outcome for me.
Exactly, which is what it boils down to. It's always, you know, I want the best for me. And if right. it's good for me, then it's good for everyone else. And we wind up continuing to sing our song and, of life in the key of me. So, you know, I think the important thing is to take those who choose to look and see the bigger picture and say, you know, benevolence is really what we want to have happen. And I went online and I looked up the actual definition of benevolence. And it's very interesting. Benevolent. It's an adjective and it means well-meaning and kindly. Okay, well, that's good. But the synonyms knock me out. They include kind, kindly, kind-hearted, warm-hearted, tender-hearted, big-hearted, good-natured, good, gracious, tolerant, benign, compassionate, caring, sympathetic, considerate, thoughtful, well-meaning, obliging, accommodating, helpful, decent, neighborly, public-spirited, charitable, altruistic, humane, humanitarian, and philanthropic. And there's more, but I'm not going to chew your ear off with them. Those are pretty powerful words. And when we really consider the fact that when we ask that which is the powers that be, God, creative energy of all, for the most benevolent outcome, we're asking for all that. And when we're asking for all that, we can then let go of any other outcome except the most benevolent one, and we no longer feel like we have to try and control the outcome.
Right.
And there's a release and a relief from that feeling of being obliged to tackle it down, which is what we're taught to do all our lives, which is where beneficial and all these other things come from. Even when we start talking, and I know we've talked about The Secret in the past, one of your pet subjects, and the truth of the matter is that when you're asking for a benevolent outcome, it lets go of all of that stuff, and it puts us in a place of really co-creation. Because in actual fact, everything the universe does, everything that happens in all creation is a direct result. It's a direct result of that same benevolence.
Right.
Because to me, creation is benevolent. We say, but isn't there creation and destruction? Well, everything just changes form, but it continually evolves and continually evolves to the point where it becomes self-aware and conscious, which is right. where we have the gift of being at this point of infinity that we exist within, holding intelligence, holding the ability to exchange ideas and thoughts, to have opinions and to understand or try to understand the world around us and then the world inside us and understand the world around us through the world inside of us and then ask ourselves whether it's the world inside of us that's really creating the world outside of us and so on. So it's a wonderful existence and an opportunity that we have in this lifetime to have a mind that can even go into those places.
Right. You know, well, let's start
and that's
with
benevolence.
That's benevolence. Perfect. Let's start with our callers so we can get... But before we get into callers, we do have to have you go into trance.
Okay, I'm going to go to sleep. Just take me a second.
All right. So if you want more information about David and the Willows, you can go to their website, askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com.
Yeah, so we are here now. You may now proceed.
Form?
Indeed, yes, this is in effect as we are now welcoming here. You and those who are listening.
Beautiful.
On the way.
All right. So let's bring Jill on. Hi, Jill.
Hello. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I know you've been having a hard time. And I know part of your question is when you're going to get a break. Do you have any more clarity around that? Like what you're specifically?
Just with family, finances, it's like I have been doing a lot of healing and processing and getting clarity. being in a toxic, abusive family, and I just want to move on. And I'm just not, for some reason.
Well, there is much that you were holding in your conscious mind in the present about what you were holding on to. And those who are unhappy or feeling depressed or stuck are living in the past, you see. And it is difficult to not look in the past. It is as if you were spending your life looking in the rearview mirror of your car. It's very difficult to drive forward as long as you were doing that. Secondly, there is the times when you feel anxious because you project ahead into the future, a repetition of what's occurred in the past, and a hope that it's not going to happen that way. But there's also a sense of expectation, and unfortunately, on a deeper level, a sense of almost a deep expectation that that's exactly what's going to be happening. So it's difficult to shake that as much as that you are doing the work, because it seems to be repeating in itself. So is there a short answer to this? The answer is to make up your mind what you would like to have happen tomorrow. That to say to yourself, the past is in the past, and that to release it, we know that you have been doing good work upon it. Use those techniques to release it with love, and to realize that if it took everything in your life that you've experienced to get to the point to understand what you need to do now, then it was worth the journey. Then you can be grateful for the journey, and you can release yourself from the sense of oppression and loss and failure that you feel have dogged you. The second thing to do is important, is to look forward to the things you wish to do, and instead of having an expected outcome or a hopeful outcome that it will not happen this way, what we would suggest here is to look at it and to release yourself from the outcome. Doing this, you may say, when I am entering into something, I am going to take an experimental attitude towards it. In other words, I'm going to give it a try and see what happens. If it doesn't work, then I'll try something else. In other words, you are not expecting it not to work, but if it doesn't, then you will be ready to reapproach it again. And if you do this with vigor, you would find in a very short period of time things will begin to go your own way, because you are not trying to control the outcome. You are simply involving yourself in the process of trying new things and finally finding the things that really work for you. This is when you ask for the most benevolent outcome. When you ask for the most benevolent outcome, you are asking for an outcome that will not only benefit you, but your entire life. And that involves everybody that you are connected with in this lifetime. And if it is then benevolent for you, this outcome, it will be benevolent for everyone, for it has to be. Asking yourself this, saying this to yourself, thinking to yourself, and then defining benevolence for yourself. Keep a dictionary definition of this in your wallet. So that every time that you are attempting to do something, you say to yourself, I am looking for the most benevolent outcome. Not beneficial, benevolent. But for when you do this, it will bring you to a different level of consciousness. And you were just about ready to step into this higher level. The only thing that's keeping you in the back, basically, are the memories. So look at the memories of the things that have happened to you and how they've affected you. Give thanks for the events and release them with love and say, I'm now ready to take an experimental attitude and see what's going to happen next. And you don't know what's going to happen next, and you don't know what the outcome is going to be because it's new territory. But if you ask for the most benevolent outcome, you can bet your boots that it's not going to be bad for you. And this is the way to approach it. And there is the old saying, cheer up, things could be worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse, you see. This is not the attitude to take. This is a joke. But the truth of the matter is, for yourself, asking for a benevolent outcome, and looking at life and the lessons that you have learned to this point, if you saw another person, a good friend perhaps, who had been through what you've been through and come to the conclusions that you are now reaching in your life, you would think she was a pretty cool person, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes. And you would admire what she has done. And you would also realize it's part of a longer process. There is no journey. There is no destination truly in this sense. It is the journey that counts. and realize that your journey has been one of self-learning, learning about yourself and learning about your own self-worth and your own value as a human being. And you've done a brilliant job of that to this point. So instead of saying, when am I going to get a break, here's the break you have. First of all, you got born in North America. Now, that's the big one. And it goes from there upward. You see? And this is an important thing to realize, that you live in a free world, in a free society. And despite what other people may tell you, that it is not free and it is not yours to live, it truly is. You live in the land of true opportunity, and people are still trying to jump over your borders to come and live in it. So, this is where you live. And you bring this opportunity and this feeling of expansiveness through yourself and go into the world and try new things. You will stumble and fall sometimes, but you will have far more success. In the words of one of your most famous baseball players of all times, the immortal Babe Ruth, instead of saying he was the home run king, he said that he was the strikeout king, because he swung at every single pitch that came across the plate. Now, that's how he got so many home runs, because he swung at everyone like he was going to knock it out of the field. And eventually, he did. But he also struck out more than any other person in the league. So understanding here, by taking a chance, by taking a step, and by taking an experimental attitude, it will strengthen you as a human being, and it will make you more of who you have become to this date. So be joyful in that which you have gained and that which you know about yourself, and let go of the thought that tomorrow is going to be the same as yesterday. You see? In doing this, you would find yourself in a far more balanced and joyful state. Is this helpful?
That was okay. Outstanding and exactly right on.
Perfect. All right, Jill, we need to go to break, but so you'll be able to listen to this again on the replay. So definitely take an opportunity to get that and maybe keep a copy of it. All right, we are going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson. You can find out more information about David if you go to askthewillows.com. We are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
When's the last time you checked the engine oil level, or any fluid level for that matter? This is ASC Certified Auto Tech Pam Oakes letting you know, have your vehicle checked over by an ASC Blue Seal shop or dealership staff member each month to have the tire pressure, tread depth, and fluid levels inspected. And if the tech sees something out of the ordinary, well, the repair can be performed a lot cheaper than if you got stuck on the side of the road after Domino's into something horrible. Professional set of eyes keeps money in your wallet. If there's a charge for this brief 5-minute checkover, you need to find another shop with a great reputation and reliable service. I'm Pam Oakes, and this has been your Automotive Minute for today. Let me teach you how not to fix your vehicle in the driveway, but how to have your car or truck properly repaired by an ASC-certified technician. CarCareForTheClueless.com, making you a savvy car consumer.
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night. Just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. But when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pablo Dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did.
Smile, and I'm wondering if this is some kind of creative drive. Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson with us, who is in trance with the Willows. You can find out more about David if you go to his website, askthewillows.com. That's askthewillows.com. We are taking calls. We have a couple in queue, although it looks like one might be an instant message now. Let's bring in Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi. My question is, what do you guys see happening for my love life?
Okay. we try not to do too general of a question.
Okay.
But,
I'll see what he has to say. I was with someone for 3 years. I've been single for about 7-8 months, and I just I'm interested in a coworker. Do you guys see that going anywhere?
Well, here, all of the affairs of the heart are a result of mutual attraction, and you must say to yourself, it has to be a two-way stream here. Yes, looking at this coworker, yes. Does there appear to be a returning of your interest?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Repeat?
She didn't understand what you asked.
We are asking, is the coworker aware of the fact that you were interested?
I think so.
Well, the object is to perhaps ask them to go and have a cup of tea with you or coffee or at lunch sometime, and tell them that you think that they're a nice person and it might be nice to get to know each other.
Well, we did. We went out on a date. We took a few lunch breaks together, but I don't know where it's going to go. That's basically what I want to know. Is it going to go anywhere?
Do you want it to?
Yeah.
Then what we would suggest is if you wanted to, then act as if it is going somewhere. One of the great truths of life is how the mind works. What you focus on is what you create, so to speak. So if you are focusing on a positive outcome and a relationship becoming more expansive and loving and caring, then so it shall. Make sure that within the same that you are doing this, that you take aspects of jealousy and insecurity, and flush them away. And those are things that have plagued you in the past, and it's too bad because you are a lovely human being. And it's time to let go of the fact that perhaps you have to do something to continually please another person in a relationship by acting or behaving or being in a certain way. The relationship with this person here that you have had to this point, we see has been comfortable, yes? It has not been awkward. No?
Well, it did get awkward because he's going to law school, so he has a lot going on. So he actually took a leave of absence, and I heard from him like a month prior to our dates, and then after that I haven't like really heard from him. Before he took his leave of absence, we would talk here and there at work, but everything kind of just stopped.
In that case, we would suggest move on. You see, when people do not connect with you or communicate with you, there are two reasons. One, their phone is broken, or two, they don't want to. And we do not think this one's phone is broken. The reason he doesn't want to is not because of you. It's because of himself. It's because he is so much in his own life at this moment in time, needing to do the things he is committed to do, that he doesn't have a lot of time for you or anybody else. You see? So in this
or
way
even
here.
Himself.
Repeat?
Or even himself.
Or himself, particularly in this line of studying, you see? Mm-hmm. So for you at this point, just think about him and just send him love in your heart and let go of an outcome and say, well, I guess that didn't work out, but you know, if he ever gets back to me, it would be nice to get to know him a little better. And release yourself from this, because if you do not release yourself from the emotional attachment you have with him, you will not leave a lot of room to open for another relationship to come into your life. The universe hates vacuums, you see. And if you, as long as you hold something in your heart for another person, the universe will not bring another along too fast to replace that one for you, to fill up the emptiness inside. So release him and say to yourself, I'm open now to new opportunity and a new relationship. And then ask for the most benevolent outcome, which is somebody who will love you as much as you love them. Who will feel the same that you feel for them, and who will have the respect for you that you deserve as you would hold the respect for him. You see? These are the things to ask the universe for. And if you are looking, here's a little secret for you. Take a piece of paper and write on it not all the things you want as a perfect partner, but you write down all the things that you know about yourself. You see? Your big heart, your loyalty, the fact that you're totally transparent, yes, and that you are a kind and generous person, and all of these other things about yourself that are true. Because when you get to the bottom of the list of all the things that you know are true and that you admire about yourself, and this isn't an ego exercise, you understand? You will have the list of the qualities you are looking for in another partner. Because opposites do attract, but it doesn't get much more opposite than male and female, does it now? So thinking about this from this perspective here, when you write all of these things down on a piece of paper, then you qualify exactly. First of all, you state and requalify for yourself that you are a good person. And secondly, you're qualifying the fact you're looking for and have the right to be with another good person as well. That's what makes a relationship work. So you would take this piece of paper and you would read it every day. And as this full moon has just passed, you would do it every day for a month, and for the next full moon, when it comes, you would take this and have a little ceremony. Take the piece of paper, burn it, and as you burn it, just say, I release this into the universe so that every step I take forward from this time on in my life is one step closer to my life partner. And when you say this, you will set it up, you will put it into the universe, and you will have the most benevolent outcome. Because this isn't just for you, it's for both of you. And that is what love is all about. You see?
Okay.
Is this helpful for you?
All right. thanks for contacting us, Tiffany. And
thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, so we may as well go to break now because it's almost break time and David can come back. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. If you want more information about David, check out his website where you can find out more about David and the Willows. If you go to askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com, and you're listening on Sky Radio powered by CBS.
Seeking guidance in areas of love, career, and family? Kimmy Rose and Friends provides access to gifted psychics and is just a call away at 1-888-626-7386. Visit KimmyRose.com. That's Kimmy with an I-E. And click on the link to Kimmy Rose and Friends under Kimmy's picture on the right. Choose your advisor and click on their link below. If they're not immediately available, schedule an appointment with them. Kimmy Rose and Friends, connecting you with psychic advisors Kimmy Trust.
put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring rain. WC handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. Then I'm walking in Memphis, just walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, but do I really feel the way I feel? Saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue. Followed him up to the gates of Graceland, and I watched him walk right through. Now security, they did not see him, they just hovered around his tomb. But there's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. When I was walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, but do I really feel the way I feel? They've got catfish on the table. They've got gospel in the air. The river in green, be glad. When you haven't got a prayer, but boy, you got a prayer in Memphis. Now Muriel plays piano every Friday at the Hollywood, and they brought me down to see her. And they asked me if I would do a little number, and I sang with all my might. She said, tell me, are you a Christian child? And I said, ma'am, I am. Tonight, walking in Memphis, was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis,
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson. You can find out more about David if you go to his website, askthewillows.com. We had a caller that I think it might have taken too long to get to her.
Call.
We lost her. But she had a really interesting question, and there's a bunch of things that were red flags for me, and I think we'll just discuss it because it's all about compassion. It's exactly what we were talking about when we started the show. So she's in a new relationship. Mm-hmm. And so my red flag was she's in a new relationship, mm-hmm. and her boyfriend's son is autistic, and she's having a hard time feeling compassion, I'm assuming for the child, and was wondering about advice. So the first red flag about the new part was, I mean, I'm not quite sure what's happening, but, you know, there's so much in dynamics of relationships that, you know, you don't need to add on to that at the very beginning of a relationship, the child or the children. So there's a part of me that's wondering kind of what's going on there.
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's my red flag, is the fact that it's new and already there's difficulty. But, you know, I mean, in that sense, I mean, we all have challenging relationships in our lives. And how do we find compassion for those challenging relationships? I mean, that is what the topic, and especially as we're going into the Thanksgiving weekend, I mean, that is
well,
the topic.
Well, I think the most challenging relationship I've ever had in my life is the one that I have with myself.
Yeah.
And you're spoken like a true narcissist. Only kidding. But you know, I think if we take life from that perspective, and we begin to filter things through our own perspectives and our own consciousness, and we begin to release ourselves from judgmental thinking and from those kind of things, we can begin to have more compassion for ourselves. And you know, what I might suggest to this young lady is that, you know, you might begin to first of all not sit there and say, well, I should have compassion for a child who is challenged in the way that this young man is. But at the same time, I need to be compassionate with myself and to perhaps reexamine what compassion means to me. Because I'll tell you, some people see people who are not what we would say, quote unquote, normal, you know. I never qualified as normal my whole life, so it's okay. But the fact is somebody who's not in the mainstream of behaviors that we would find that it's easy to communicate with people like that. And folks don't know how to communicate.
Right. That's
so
the big part.
I think the compassion comes with communication. Just because somebody's autistic doesn't mean to say you have to feel compassion for them. You know, perhaps if you feel compassionate within your own heart, because it's not their fault they're autistic, that's the way they are. They don't want you to feel compassion for them being autistic.
Right.
What they want you to do is communicate with them and talk with them the same way as everybody else does.
Mm.
I mean, I have a friend of mine whose son suffers from Asperger's, and he was appeared to be very autistic when he was younger, and as he grew older, he grew out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron never asked for compassion. What we discovered about him was the fact that he had difficulty relating to his emotional consciousness and expressing emotions,
yeah.
You see? So that was important. So compassion wasn't something that he knew anything about. It was something he had to learn and understand other people's points of view. And he is very much into doing that now, but he still does it from what I would say an intellectual perspective rather than emotional, which is okay too.
Well, because I mean, that is part of they don't have social skills because they're, I mean, so, to me, I think it's because mostly they're not in their body.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I would rent some of the great movies out there that have, you know, autistic children, young adults, just to get an understanding of what autism is. It is increasing in North America, and, you know, there could be all sorts of reasons why that's happening.
I'm sure there are, but I am neither a doctor nor a...
Right. But I mean, it's going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think maybe being educated in what autism, the limitations of autistic children, definitely how to communicate in
sure.
a different way. I mean, it's
communication
yeah.
is key.
Yeah.
It's all about that.
That's their frustration is they don't know how to communicate either. And so they're frustrated because they're not able to communicate what they – and they don't understand the same things we do, especially around emotions.
At the same time also, I mean, we don't know the degree to which this young fellow is considered to be autistic.
Mm-hmm.
Some autistic children are self-destructive, are uncontrolled, have outbursts of anger, and these people come from the most compassionate of families.
Sure.
So they're having real problems communicating. They get very frustrated within themselves, and there's these outbursts that come. So they express their emotions with anger and frustration. So I don't know exactly what that, you know, that boy's situation is, you know.
There's a beautiful, I can't remember her name. I might try and find it and post it, but she's actually from Toronto and has written a book. And once she was able to actually find a way to communicate, that was her frustration, is that she couldn't find a way to communicate.
As an autistic person?
An autistic child. Well, now she's a young adult, but from Toronto. And it's a wonderful story about how she, you know, was finally able to begin communicating. And, you know, again, it's finding that voice or finding that way to reach out. And we all have to sort of explore different ways because – you know, and it even makes me think of the child that I saw at breakfast the other day where, you know, it's a young child about maybe between two and three. And they were using sign, not because the child was deaf, just because it's a way to communicate now with children. It's easier for them to understand hand signals than it is to necessarily speak. I mean, we all have to learn how to communicate, and that's, you know, we want it to fall under a certain way, but I mean, everybody learns, everybody feels, knows that it's all different.
I agree. One of the books that shifted my brain was a book called The Gift of Dyslexia by a guy by the name of Ronald Davis. And in actual fact, he says that dyslexia, autism, and ADD and ADHD and all of those other conditions are all related. And he was described as a young man as being totally and completely autistic, and they were going to put him in an institution. Well, he went on to get a PhD and has become a major educator teaching people about dyslexia and about autism.
Right.
The book is phenomenal, and it's written for dyslexics and autistic people to read.
Oh, cool.
It's very interesting. It's large print, and it's arranged in a specific way. Huh. And he provides all kinds of exercises that parents can use and people can use to get people who are in themselves out. How to understand where their minds are at. Because there's nobody better to explain it than somebody who's in it.
Right.
And that's what this guy, right, Ronald Davis, is all about. It's a phenomenal book.
The young girl from Toronto, her name is Carly. Mm-hmm. And she actually has a blog now. She's got lots of YouTube as well. But Carly's Cafe. So Carly, Carly's Cafe. But yeah, there's amazing stories out there. It's just, again, you know, the compassion part is, you know, how do you, you know, it really is about your own heart and being, you know, not judgmental and not getting caught up and frustrated with other things that are going on that just aren't fitting our, what quote unquote normal means to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and again, as we're going into this long weekend, you know, family, that's, you know, that those are the bigger pieces that we usually get triggered by, because that's where we learned, that's where we began our learning, that's where we got stuck in our learning.
So with that in mind, a thought I'd like everybody to hold on to once we're gone from the air is when you get together with your family this Thanksgiving weekend, ask for the most benevolent outcome for the weekend.
Yes.
And just go in and see what happens. You will note that suddenly things go a lot smoother and things will mesh for you a lot faster.
All right. So with that,
an experimental attitude.
There you go. With that, this has been a great show. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you want more information about David or the Willows, go to askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com. You've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.